بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, we continue again the anecdotes, the malfuzat of Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. We had commenced last week, and these are aspects relating to suluk and tasawuf, tazkiyah of the heart. These sayings and these anecdotes are not lengthy discourses. They are short sayings, they are advices, pieces of advice, which are extremely important for all of us. It helps us to remedy all our spiritual diseases. And these mashayikh and ulama, these friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who lived such a pious life, in such a simple way, they explain to us tasawuf, suluk, tariqat, reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I mentioned last week, many of these topics have been discussed previously in our other programs. So some of these things may be repeated, but this repetition is beneficial for all of us. And the simple example we mentioned, a person gets a flu now, he takes the medication. It doesn't mean he won't get flu in the rest of his life. After some time, maybe a year later, he can get flu again. So when he gets the flu again, he will take the same medication that a person gets for flu. He won't say tell the doctor, no, he tasted this medication before, he took this tablet before, now he must come up with something new. So these messages and these ayat, tafsir and ahadith and explanation, they are repeated. Because sometimes we suffer from a disease, a spiritual disease, and alhamdulillah, after some time we are able to get rid of the disease. But then nafs and shaitan overwhelms us again, and sometimes it is the same problem that we had previously, and therefore we need to repeat the same remedy. Last week we had, I think briefly we discussed about the importance of istighfar, and the manner in which we make istighfar requires istighfar also. We spoke about speaking ill of others, that we should not speak ill of others, causes of ruining one's actions. Then we even spoke about Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, how each Sahabi feared hypocrisy. They were on guard all the time. They were so concerned about preserving the iman. They always feared that perhaps this action of minds may tantamount to nifaq and hypocrisy. So inshallah, we continue today with different topics. But these are small, small malfuzat which are extremely beneficial. If you listen attentively, inshallah, with the niyat of islah, or the niyat of reformation, not that somebody else has got this problem, so it's referring to that person, is referring to myself first. So we should now try and inculcate these advices in our life, inshallah. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh had mentioned about repelling disturbing thoughts. I'm not sure if we discussed this last week, but we'll repeat it if we have mentioned it. He says, do not attempt to repel disturbing thoughts. Instead, engage in excessive durood sharif. One will never be successful if one tries to repel these thoughts. That's a very common question. People get those different type of thoughts coming to their mind. Some are extremely disturbing. A person gets worried, is my iman intact or not? Now, these are not voluntary thoughts. It comes suddenly to the mind. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib says, don't worry about trying to repel these thoughts. All you will do, engage in durood sharif. It is like a person who goes on an errand to the marketplace. Person goes to the bazaar, and he hears many different noises. The blaring hooters, barking of dogs, shouting of people, customers and shopkeepers. He will see various items on display. And despite all these distractions, he will still carry out the errand for which he has gone, set out. He's gone to do some work, So despite all the other attractions, he will still carry out the errand for which he has set out. In fact, he will not tolerate the slightest disturbance in his work, and he will ensure that the work is accomplished. So in a similar way, whatever work we have to, reading tilawat of the Quran, salah, dhikrullah, whatever it is, shaitan will bring funny thoughts to us, just to distract us. Like the blaring hooters, barking of the dogs, shouting of the people in the marketplace. Just ignore all these thoughts and do what we have to do. Like that person who's gone out for that errand, and he makes sure he fulfills the task. Simple as that. In another place, Hazrat has explained when somebody asked him, he says, I experience wasawis, whispers of shaitan in salat. What is the cure for it? So he says, this is like the situation where you wish to visit a friend. A beautiful example he gives. You go out to visit your friend. However, when you go there, you find he's got a big dog there. His dog is obstructing the path and it is barking at you. Now, there is one of three methods that you may adopt in this situation. Number one, either you turn away, and if you will turn away, the dog will continue barking, resulting in other dogs also barking. There is also the possibility that whilst running away, you might trip and fall, resulting in another disaster. Nevertheless, in this instance, you would have distanced yourself from your friend. You were to meet your friend. But now you are unable to meet your friend because you have turned away. The second method, to remain at the gate and fight the dog. Either the dog will bite you or you will injure the dog. Hence, either you will suffer or your friend because it's his dog. Further, the time that you had intended staying with your friend was wasted in fighting with the dog. Then he says the third manner is, allow the dog to continue barking. And call your friend, shout out to him, telling him that you wish to visit him, but the dog is obstructing you. Today we have cell phones. So give him a call from outside, or press the bell, or shout out from outside. Immediately your friend will reprimand the dog. He will chain the dog and he'll allow you to enter. So as I say, this is the best method to adopt. Endeavor to master this method. That is, seek assistance from Allah. Ignore all those wasawis. In the hadith it is mentioned, a person who is suffering from waswasa, different thoughts are coming. Sometimes thoughts like kufr thoughts come to a person's mind. Evil thoughts will come. So the hadith says, you must say, Amantu billahi wa rusulihi. I believe firmly in Allah and all His Rasuls. And then you ignore all those thoughts. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, that is like a person traveling on the highway, and different cars are moving, and trucks and lorries. And so don't get distracted by those things. If you go now, going to entertain those thoughts, and now you're trying to fight and repel those thoughts, like how Hazrat Mufti Sahib has mentioned, you're going to try to hurt the dog. You won't hurt the dog will bite you, you'll get hurt. Or you'll have to move away, so you'll discard your salat. And if you try to fight those thoughts, you won't finish your salat. You'll be finishing yourself up. Just ignore those thoughts. By ignoring those thoughts, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His assistance, this will strengthen a person. And this is a sign of his iman. So it shouldn't make the person become so distracted and eventually abandon his salat or dhikr, whatever it may be. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. This is a very common problem. Many people ask the same question and the same answer is given. Simple. Just ignore all those wasawis. Hazrat has mentioned fear harassing the friends of Allah. Don't trouble the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, a group of Shias, intended to play a prank on a buzurg. One of them pretended to be dead and was placed in a coffin. We've heard this before. The buzurg was then requested to perform the janaza salat. It was planned that after the second or third takbir, this person will spring out and jump onto the buzurg and make him scared. This friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this wali of Allah, asked him to give ghusl to the dead person. He said, "We finished, we've given the ghusl already." He told him that ghusl is not valid, that ghusl you made. Repeat that ghusl. Thus they moved that coffin away, the janaza, and took it back to their place. Upon moving that coffin, when they moved it, then they found that this person was really dead. So they thought they would play a prank on this buzurg, this friend of Allah. Allah Ta'ala made it a haqiqah, the reality. It was for this reason the buzurg had ordered them to repeat the ghusl, because the ghusl that is done while it's alive is not valid for a dead person. The ghusl has to be given after death. As Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahman writes, he says these people had intended playing a prank on the buzurg, and Allah Ta'ala had taken revenge on behalf of this person. One should always fear harassing and harming the pious, because even their actions that seem to be mistakes to us are actually correct. It appears in the hadith al-Qudsi, "I declare war against those who harm my friends. Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantuhu bil harb." Now this is something very, very important. How often we just blurt out things. We make blasphemous statements against some mashayikh, some ulama, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of our weak and deficient understanding of many things. In fact, we should not be making any statements against any Muslim, against any person. But it becomes even more serious when that person has a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not know in this gathering or any other gatherings who is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We won't know. Many or most of these friends of Allah Ta'ala are hidden. We do not know which action of the person is so beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah has given the special nisbat. And now we are interfering with a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're a strong person. Somebody interfering with your friend, what will you do? Won't you defend your friend? Yeah, we are playing with the friend of Allah Rabbul Izzat. We have found most of our mashayikh, people who troubled them, they made sabr. Those people kept on harming them, harassing their lives. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took intiqam, revenge on behalf of those people. Hazrat Madni Rahmatul Ali, many people used to harm him and trouble him. The same people in his life, he had seen what terrible conditions they suffered then. If we don't understand it, we don't understand something, we keep quiet. But this zuban of ours, we have to hold it very firmly. Especially when it comes to mashayikh, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very in one malfuz, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahman writes, he says, knowledge requires practice. And this is especially for students of deen, ulama-i kiram. He says, knowledge requires practice. In fact, one of the questions in the day of Qiyamah, before a person can even move his foot from the place where he'll be raised, "Mada amilta bima alimta?" Allah will say, "I'll give you knowledge." So much of knowledge, you learn Bukhari Sharif and Tirmidhi Sharif and Muslim Sharif, and mashallah, you excelled in the class, and you knew Baydawi, and you did so many tafasir and fiqh, and you was a mufti and qari, and you did so many things. What amal did you do? How much did you practice upon all the knowledge you were given? If one does not practice on his knowledge, it will leave him. If one does not practice on his knowledge, it will leave him. The example of this is, and as the Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah, we had seen him, what a giant he was when he came to ilm, and of course amal as well. What a great wali of Allah he was. When he used to come to our country, and he used to be in Rietfontein, many of you will recall, ulama especially, small little room. And they all, the Shaykhul Hadithas and the principals of different madaris and Darul Uloom and students and asatiza, all will be there. Our Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahman should be most of the time there because he was Mufti Sahib's student, very close to him. And most cases, Hazrat Mawlana Rahman should start the majlis by asking some question. In fact, they would tell him, Mawlana Abshuru Farmadi, you see, ask something, then Mufti Sahib will start. Hazrat Mawlana Umarji Sahib Rahmatullah used to be there. Great people. And any question the ulama had, regarding any subject, they would ask the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah. And it was amazing. He was so old, one eye he could hardly even see, I think. Yet, without looking any kitab, yes, he would give answers. He would quote the actual Arabic quotation and text. And he didn't even check those kitabs when the person asked him. Years of studying, because these people made amal on their knowledge. They lived a very pious life. Allah Ta'ala blessed them with that noor in their heart. As we mentioned last week, the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not given to a disobedient person, to the sinner. Knowledge is noor. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahman writes that the example of this is that of a person who was on a camel back, he goes to visit someone, calls out for him. If the owner of the house does not respond to his call, he will go away. This is ilm, knowledge is noor, it is light. Jahalat, ignorance, is darkness. It is dhulumat, it is darkness. Therefore, when someone understands something, he says, I've got some light. Don't we say, throw some light on this subject. When a person understands something, he says, I've got some noor. I've got some light. I have come out of darkness into light. So when a person abandons his knowledge, he's coming out of the light and going back to darkness. Allah had blessed him with knowledge. He came out of the darkness. Now he's shown the right path. Knowledge is like a person learns a manual. You were learning how to drive a car. So you learn all the book they have for your learners and all the signs. You learn it and you master it. So you have the knowledge of these road signs. Now you need to sit in the car and abide by those road signs. And you're going to stop where you're going to stop and follow the different instructions. But after learning all this, you don't go on to sit in the car and you don't tread this path, you don't follow these road signs, or you drive a car but you do as you feel. So all that knowledge you learned is wasted. For ordinary people like ourselves, whatever knowledge we have learned, masail we have learned, and we are learning all the time. So in one way, we are also getting some type of knowledge. So we make amal on that. Make amal on it. Somebody mentions some fazilat, some virtue of some action, then immediately bring it to our life. Inshallah, that will remain with us. Otherwise, our Hazrat Yusuf mentioned, one is just ma'lumat. We just got information. There is not ilm. We just ma'lumat. Quran talks about putting huge books on the back of a donkey. That's all. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of making amal on whatever we have learnt. So that on the day of Qiyamah, at least we are able to answer, Ya Allah, I did this for your sake. Of course, ikhlas and all, that is also very important. But at least we should make amal on the knowledge that we have. Then this knowledge will remain with us, this noor will remain with us. Otherwise, this knowledge also will vanish. We were talking about nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali Hazrat, what is the reality of nisbat with Allah, nisbat ma'allah? What is the meaning of having a nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, he has many times in some bayan we say that he was sahib a nisbat, or he had a nisbat with Allah ta'ala. Allah grant us your nisbat. What is the meaning of nisbat? Now, many times explanations were given. In this particular one, he gave a very simple example. He says, a special bond is created with Allah Ta'ala, whereby one does not disobey Allah and constantly remains in Allah's obedience. everything is done with sincerity, and one is constantly concerned that Allah Ta'ala should be pleased with him, when this bond with Allah Ta'ala is strengthened, it is then called Nisbat Ma'Allah. This explanation has been given by Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So what is Nisbat? Ya Allah, grant me your Nisbat. We are asking Allah that make us your obedient servants. Not just for one day or 2 days, continuously. All the time. And we must remain in your obedience. And everything we do, it must be with sincerity. And we must have this concern that Allah Ta'ala must be pleased with us. So when this happens, then this bond with Allah Ta'ala is now strengthened. All the time, you want to please your Allah. And whatever you're doing it absolutely sincerely. Why? Because you know Allah Ta'ala knows you, how sincere you are or not. But whatever you're doing, you're making sure that you're doing it properly for the sake of Allah. And you're doing it so that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with you. So obviously you will refrain from sins. You won't do anything that will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is nisbat. Nisbat doesn't mean now a person is able to do some karamat, and do some supernatural things and see he's got ajeeb nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. No. Nisbat with Allah Ta'ala is to have this, that a person is totally in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned also previously, person makes a slip, we're human beings. So we're bound to make some mistakes, we're bound to sin. But immediately, when a person, a friend of Allah, a person who has nisbat, if he happens to falter, he happens to make a slip, immediately he will rectify himself by making tawbah, istighfar. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاعِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. They remember Allah Rabbul Izzat. Because they are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike that person who does not have that consciousness of Allah ta'ala. He's heedless, he's ghafil. So he will carry on doing sins, it'll just multiply all the time. And it won't even create any feeling in his heart that he has done something wrong. He will just continue. May Allah Ta'ala give us his true ma'iyat and nisbat. May Allah Ta'ala help us to be his true, genuine, obedient servants and refrain from all type of sins. We had previously given quite a few times about the sickness of badnazri, casting lustful glances at women, and the remedy to that. We had mentioned the whole discourse of Mufti Khan Puri Rahmatullah Ali, if you could recall. Yes, Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, somebody asked him, he said, Hazrat, I am unable to protect my sight from falling on non-mahram woman. Please make dua for me. Hazrat answered, he said, Allah Ta'ala has placed 2 shutters on each eye. We have these eyelids. These 2 shutters on each eye. When your sight falls on any incorrect area, then immediately close these shutters and turn your face to another direction. Now this requires, in the words of Hazrat Ali Billah Zahkim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi, this requires himmat, courage. Person has to have courage to do this. You have to close your eyes, you have to close the shutters and turn your face away. He says, you will not be sinful if your sight mistakenly fell on an incorrect area. However, one will be sinful if one continues casting one's gaze in that direction, or if one intentionally looks towards that area, because sin is that which is committed voluntarily. So the simple ilaj is that we just close our eyes. Of course, don't wink at the person now. You close both the shutters and you turn your face away. It is difficult on the nafs and heart. But this is the thing that makes a person the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the pain. This is the pain and the gham that Hazrat should talk about in the ash'ar, in his kalam. That when a person feels this pain, when he closes his shutters, because he had every opportunity to look at that woman and enjoy himself, but for the sake of his beloved Allah, the command of his Allah, he closed his eyes and he turned his face away. So he will feel some pain because he did not look at that woman and he had every chance, and how beautiful she was, and everybody else are also looking at her. But for the sake of Allah, he does not do it. Those few seconds he will experience pain, but then Allah blesses him with halawati iman. That's when he enjoys the sweetness of iman, which a person cannot describe to any person. Sweetness of iman. That cool feeling he'll get immediately. Why? Because now he's obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately Allah ta'ala gives him this halawati iman. May Allah protect us. We are living in this environment. All the time, either some billboard, some magazine, some literature, whilst driving on the road, people working in offices, in institutions, all the time this is happening. You're traveling by plane, or in the airport. That is why Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah always say, Ankhon ki hifazat. And he used to say, this is the malady, and this is the problem, the epidemic of society today. And therefore in all his bayans, almost every single bayan of his where he would speak on this and give the ilaj. So we have to make an attempt, we have to endeavor, we have to practice on it until Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for us. It becomes second nature. From a distance already you feel some woman coming, already you are casting, you are lowering your gaze. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Many times we have problems, there's dispute, there's arguments. People are not on talking terms. People are claiming some rights of theirs. If there's some financial matter, some domestic problem. So we have what we call reconciliation. We make sulah. He says when two parties resolve, listen very carefully, when two parties resolve in reconciling, some matter, something, some issue has taken place and is not stopping. And finally they desire, okay, let's now reconcile. That it is necessary for each of them to realize that he had committed errors and trampled the rights of the opposite party, which is now contrary to the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for doing that, the punishment is severe. Thereafter, one should be remorseful for one's actions and should be prepared to compensate the other party irrespective of the amount of sacrifice one will have to undergo. I'll repeat this. When two parties resolve in reconciling, it is necessary for each of them to realize that he had committed errors and trampled on the other person's right, and of course by doing so, he has earned the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the punishment for this is very severe. So once a person decides he wants to reconcile, the two parties decide they want to reconcile, they should be remorseful for their actions. And they should be prepared to compensate the other party irrespective of whatever sacrifice the person has to undergo. If this is the type of eagerness, if this is the type of eagerness that one has at heart, then this is genuine musalahat, reconciliation, which will be the means to end this dispute and drawing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if this is not the cause for them reconciling, but rather due to some external force like greed, fear, or fear of disgrace, then this is not genuine musalahat. This in reality is mukhada'at, which means deception. Each party will attempt to deceive the next, and the basis of the dispute will never be eliminated. Instead, it will settle deeper into their hearts, and the outcome of this is obvious. How often this has happened? We have certain issues, financial or domestic or social problem. Finally, we decide, okay, now let's resolve this. So we go to the ulama or muftis, whoever, and they sit and listen. Now if we have come to agreement that now we're going to reconcile, so there has to be some give and take. We have to admit our weaknesses. And we have to be prepared, we have to be eager that we want this whole thing to be completely finished for the pleasure of Allah to draw His mercy. We mustn't have any ulterior motive. There mustn't be another type of external pressure on us that's forcing us to do these things. It must be solely to please Allah. When this is the condition, then this reconciliation will take place. Otherwise, it has never worked. It won't work if we have ulterior motives. And we have found so many times what they do, or what we do. From one mufti, we go to another mufti. One madrasa to another madrasa. And what we are doing in reality, now we cause them to dispute. We have to be sincere and genuine. What? We have done something wrong. It's not the mufti sahab's problem. We make it his problem. And alhamdulillah, the ulama don't even charge for all these cases. Go to the lawyer with due respect. Going to be billed. So we take up all the time, and believe me, in the end we sway the same mufti. If he gives a verdict which is against us, he's based his verdict on Quran and Hadith, but does not suit us, then we'll sway him. Then we go to the next and third person. Allah Ta'ala must give us this ikhlas, this taqwa. On the day of Qiyamah, a person will stand before Allah all alone. All alone. One of the very first questions, as far as huququl ibad is concerned, is the rights of the neighbor. The wrongs you did to your neighbor. You'll be questioned on that on the day of Qiyamah. So this is Shariat. Huququllah, huququl ibad. People have rights over us. And if we are going to trample on their rights and we are not going to settle our disputes in this world, there will be some type of humiliation, sometimes we have to go through this. Maybe we disgrace slightly because now we have to give in, we have to lower ourselves. But that is far easier than the disgrace of the Akhirat. Imagine in front of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all this thing now is revealed and open. How embarrassing it becomes. Therefore make sulah in this world before it is too late in the hereafter. Just mention one or two more, inshallah. Remedy for anger is something all of us suffer from, or most of us. You see, if you are angered due to someone's actions that are against your temperament, then swallow your anger by thinking that this is a means of my sins being forgiven. Subhanallah. If you are angered due to someone's actions that are against your temperament, your mizaj, your tabiat, then swallow your anger by thinking that whatever he is doing wrong, it is actually a means of my sins being forgiven. Just as a laundry or a washing machine removes the dirt from the clothing, it removes the stains from the clothing. Similarly, this person is purifying my heart from sins. Never give vent to the anger. Swallow the anger. That is why Sharia says, if you're standing, you must sit down. You're sitting, lie down. Drink water. Go make wudu. Move away from that place. Because anger will lead to more and more serious problems. Husband and wife, dispute, husband becomes angry, what happens? So many cases, he blurts out talaq, and now then he suffers the consequences of it. Two brothers become angry, then they don't want to talk to one another the rest of their life. Therefore, anger is such a serious bimari. Something that we don't understand. And we have to keep on practicing on this. Muslims give such a sin. Just think now that no man, he's washing away my sins. So I should be happy he's washing away my sins. And restrain ourselves from that anger. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq of restraining ourselves from anger. When last Malfoz Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah, he says, somebody asked, could you please advise us? Somebody asked for some nasihat. Like many times we go, Mawla, give some nasihat. And that I always say, that we must be genuine also. Not for nothing, Mawla, we came for your nasihat. But we're not sincere that what he's going to tell us, we're going to make amal. We just want to hear something from him. Or you know, test his knowledge, see how much hadith he can quote and whether he knows his work well or not. So when you go visit an alim, or we ask somebody, learn it for some nasihat, it must be so that we make amal. It is ajeeb, sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, when they would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for nasihat, أوصني يا رسول الله. He doesn't give me some nasihat. One sahabi said, فأوجز, and let it be brief. Why? So that I can make amal whatever you are telling me. We like long, long bayans, entertain ourselves, and that's all over. A sahabi will come ask Rasulullah, دلني على عمل إذا عملته دخلت الجنة. He doesn't give me an amal. Show me something. If I practice on it, I will enter Jannat. Ya Rasulullah, which of the actions is best in the eyes of Allah? Ya Rasulullah, show me an action, it will bring me closer to Jannat. يُبَاعِدُنِي عَنِ النَّارِ, and will keep me away from Jahannam. And immediately they will make amal on it. So somebody asked Mufti Sahib Nasihat. So he gave. He said, Shaykh Saadi Rahmatullah Ali's peer and murshid, Hazrat Shihabuddin Sahrawardi Rahmatullah Ali, had given him two advices. Inshallah. Let us go home with these two advices, inshallah. Do not think good of yourself. Do not think good of yourself. And number two, do not disdain others. Don't think low of others. Many evils stem out as a result of these two. When a person has ujub in him, he thinks of himself to be very superior. He thinks good about himself. And when you think low of others, pride, al-kibru bataru al-haq wa ghamtu al-nas, you think low of people. I'm superior, everybody else inferior. So these are the causes and the root of many other evils. We had mentioned many incidents and examples of this in the past, but inshallah, let's make amal on the simple malfooz of the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, which we learned today, that let us think low of ourselves and high of everybody else. To never ever think good about ourselves and disdain others. Inshallah, if we do this, Allah will grant us tawadu, humility. And that person who has humility, Allah raises his rank. Allah raises him in dunya, Allah will give him izzat. And akhirat, of course, he'll have great honor and respect. But that person who displays arrogance, and he thinks he knows everything, and he looks low upon others. That famous story about the Buzurg was walking, had his nice jubba, everything is walking. And there was a little pathway, and there was some dirty water on the road. It was difficult for two people to pass at the same time. So one had to give way to the other until he passes this puddle of water. So this Buzurg is walking, and from the other direction is a dog coming. So obviously this person, like we would have thought the same, this is a dog. I get right of way first. So the dog was forced to go on to the pool of water, and it splashed some of the water onto his jubba, and he frowned on this and looked at the dog. You have messed my jubba. Allah Ta'ala gave the dog's zuban. Allah made the dog speak to this buzru. And he said, whether it's Bayezid Bustami or one of them, he said, oh Shaykh, of course we shouldn't think low of this buzru now. Whenever they made a little mistake like this, Allah Ta'ala would immediately rectify them. You and I, whole life will do all these wrong things, there's no rectification that takes place from Allah Ta'ala like that. These buzruq, something they will do, that night they will see a dream, so that they can make islah immediately. Nonetheless, his dog tells, Ya Shaykh, oh Shaykh, this water that fell onto your jubba, all you had to do is just wash it. It wasn't even napak. You just had to wash it. But now you looked and you thought low of me being a dog. You have caused such blemish onto your heart. And you have put scars of pride on your heart. You can wash that heart with the water of the oceans of the world. You still won't get washed. Simple thing is a dog. I imagine how many other makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, human beings are. What do we think? We think very high of ourselves. Our mashayikh had this quality of tawazu. We've seen all of them. They would humble themselves. And because of that, Allah Ta'ala gave them great honor and respect. Even after they left this world, people will still speak about them. May Allah Ta'ala give us these good qualities. This is what the tasawwuf is all about. All of us require, myself, I'm most in need of these things, because we're interacting all the time. So it's either anger, sometimes it's knowledge that makes a person feel very high about himself. We do not know which person and who is a friend of Allah. Always remember this. Never judge a book by its cover. Never judge a book by its cover. We do not know what type of mood that person gets. What his khatam will be like. Right at the end, Allah forgave him all his sins and he got Jannat. Our whole life we thought we were very pious. Right at the end we did something wrong. And everything is wiped out. Everything is wiped out. Therefore, we have to worry about our iman, worry about our taqwa, worry about our nafs, and have it in control. And this only comes through suhbat and listening to these great mashayikh of the past, listen to their malfuzat, their anecdotes, because these people sat in the suhbat of great waleed of Allah. As the Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he's mentioned in the kitabs, you know, as the Sheikh Zakari, rahmatullah alayhi, who came to Stanger, that the Mufti Sahib was his khalifa. He didn't get khilafat overnight. After 40 years of real grinding, then Hazrat Shaykh Ramal gives him khilafat. And Mufti Mahmud Sahib was so learned. So many times Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Ramal, somebody asked him a question, he said, Jao Mufti Sahib, Mufti Mahmud, say, Pujo. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of reading the biography of these mashayikh, the malfuzat. Inshallah, by reading, listening attentively, and with the sahih niyat, inshallah we'll feel some nur coming into our heart. And some change will come into our heart. If we don't make this islah, then we leave this world without getting the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We leave this world with a filthy heart. Allah give us a clean, pure heart, and we must leave this world in the condition that Allah Ta'ala is most pleased with us. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك